August 31st is International Overdose Awareness Day. On today's Focus on the Community, we will share details of an event at Forest Park in Brazil designed to raise awareness of drug abuse and the consequences that follow. Michael Hadley is the project coordinator for Inside Out Recovery in Brazil. And Michael, welcome to Focus on the Community.
Thank you. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. We're glad to have you in studio this morning. You dropped off a flyer a few days ago, and I kind of glanced at it, and I appreciate you following up and checking in again. But let's remind the listeners, first of all, what is International Overdose Awareness Day? Because this is not just an event for Brazil, right?
Right. This is not just an event for the city, the state, or the country. It's also a worldwide event that's hosted every year on August 31st to raise the awareness of drug overdose and also to remember those lost and commemorate the families and let them know that they are not alone and that, you know, the pain, the trauma, and the grief that they carry along them with them can be released.
So this is being sponsored locally by Inside Out Recovery. Let's first of all talk about what that is. What is Inside Out Recovery?
Inside Out Recovery is a transitional recovery center ministry that, you know, that allows persons like myself that have been, you know, incarcerated and are, you know, modified or released, you know, to their program, and it offers a transition, you know, from incarceration to the community and allows us to, you know, get, you know, better jobs and careers for ourselves and build our lives, you know, to where they need to be positive members of society.
And then would you mind sharing with our listeners, I guess you kind of had to do some time yourself for offenses, right?
Yes, sir. I actually did 39 months, you know, for possession of meth from January or March of 2019 until May 6th of this year, 2022. I was released 39 months early on a modification for completing the RWI program through the Indiana Department of Corrections, which is a substance abuse program.
Okay. So obviously... The help inside the prison, which one were you at, by the way?
No, I was at Plainfield Correctional Facility in Plainfield, Indiana.
Okay, so was Inside Out up there counseling you and others or not?
No, they actually counsel others at the Putnamville Correctional Facility on Tuesdays and Thursdays. They do Authentic Manhood and Celebrate Recovery. But I had reached out to them back in 2019, you know, wrote a letter to them and asking, you know, if they would accept me. And then I was sentenced in September of 2020. And part of my sentence, you know, I had to complete the program. So when I knew it was time for modification, I rewrote them and asked them if they would reaccept me. And he said, you know, they never got rid of the acceptance letter and that they would be ready for me upon my release.
Okay. So apparently it's not just you. There's actually a few others here locally that I guess reside at this Inside Out Recovery, right?
Yes, sir. There's about nine of us right now. And then there's the 10th one is a teen that goes to actually Northview High School here in Brazil that has autism. So there's, you know, there's a diversity of men that are here.
Okay. And then the idea by staying there is what exactly? You've got this internal support for each other, I assume, as part of it?
Yes. We have Authentic Manhood classes on Monday nights, and Tuesday nights we have Celebrate Recovery. And both of them start at 7 a.m. and they are open to the public if anyone, you know, would like to join. Celebrate Recovery is men and women accepted. So, and then we, you know, we do our church services. We attend Calvary Baptist here on Wednesday nights. Sunday mornings, Kevin Ekus, the owner and operator of Inside Out, he preaches at Lena Community Church in Lena, and then we attend Calvary again Sunday night. And Thursday nights is kind of our open study night, and Friday nights we also host a Bible study open to the public.
So definitely a faith-based organization, it sounds
like. Most definitely, yes, sir.
Okay, so... and the event that's coming up out at Forest Park, which would be on August 31st, what day of the week is that, first of all?
That's going to be Wednesday.
Okay, so it's a full day on a Wednesday. Tell us what's going to happen all day on August 31st.
Okay, we plan at 9 a.m. to do a 3K walk, you know, that will go through Forest Park, and then we're going to open it up at 11 a.m. with an opening statement on drug overdose and recovery, you know, recognition of all the local programs and facilities. And then around noon, we plan to do the mayor's proclamation and the appreciation and commemoration of the frontline workers, being the sheriff's department, the city police, the EMTs, the hospital, you know, everyone involved, you know, with drug overdose. And then we plan to do some music around 1 or so, and then lead that on into 2 o'clock. We're going to do some more testimonies, some recovery success stories, and we're also going to do an open mic. If anyone, you know, that's in the audience would like to share their story or their testimony, then we're going to allow that. And then around 3 p.m., I'm going to close it with my testimony and a motivational speech. And then we're also going to do a name commemoration of those lost to overdose awareness. I'm sorry, to overdose. And then, you know, as I announce the names, we're going to do a balloon release in their memory.
Oh, okay. So releasing biodegradable balloons in memory of those who lost the battle of addiction. And apparently you can write their name on a balloon before they are released. Then.
Most definitely.
Okay. And then do they need to like do a donation or pay for that balloon, or how does that work?
No, actually, I personally myself am, you know, taking care of the cost on the balloons. But anybody that would like to donate or sponsor, you know, they're more than welcome to.
So let's talk about who should attend this event. I mean, people with struggling with substance issues, perhaps?
Most definitely. And anyone and everyone that has been involved or knows someone that has been involved with overdose.
Help paint a picture for people that, you know, we all know someone who's had a substance issue. I'm not trying to say that we're not aware, but yet for those that maybe are not as close to this as maybe you and others have been, kind of help paint a picture on what abuse was like maybe for you and what finally got things turned around besides your sentencing, for example.
It's a battle. It's disgusting to have to watch, and it's disgusting to have to participate and be a part of. I mean, it's an everyday struggle. Imagine hiding your cell phone in your drawer for 24 hours and not being able to touch it or go for it. And then you might understand just a little bit about what a drug addict might go through during the day.
There's some similarities right there these days. There's people addicted to their cell phones. I get that. Right. But substance abuse issues, let's say in the Brazil Terre Haute area, it's not just a problem here. It's a problem everywhere, right?
Yes, sir. I mean, it's a problem all over the world.
And then meth seems to be the drug of choice locally. Would you say that's a fair statement?
Yes, sir. That and obviously the fentanyl heroin. You know, and that's becoming the leading cause of death for anyone under the age of 50, overcoming cancer, you know, diabetes, all of that. It's becoming an epidemic.
And is it easy to get meth, I guess, on the streets in a community like ours?
I mean, it obviously seems just as easy as going to the grocery store.
Really? It's there's that much product on the street out there, I guess.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, what's it cost? I have no clue.
I mean, you know, I've been incarcerated, and now, you know.
Well, it's been a while for you, of course, but I guess I'm just trying to help people understand what do people pay to keep an addiction like this going typically?
Well, I mean, obviously, as big as their addiction is, then they're going to do whatever they can to, you know, come up with the cost for that addiction. And, you know, you're looking at people spending anywhere from $50 to $200, $300 a day on drugs.
Wow, that can get pretty expensive, let alone be tough on your body and tough on your emotions and so forth.
And not to mention tough on your family that has to sit back and watch, you know.
And let's talk about that. I mean, you've had your own personal experience with family, but you've also seen others. And this is where you probably would like to get some people who know someone who's affected. Maybe they don't abuse drugs, but they've been dealing with the consequences of a loved one who has abused them. These are the kind of people that you'd like to attend this event on August 31st, right?
Most definitely, because I myself personally, throughout my years and the past 3 years of incarceration, I lost almost 30 people or more to overdose. And, you know, just that alone right there is just it's a disgust and a pain and a grief that you carry along with you, knowing that you one way or another contributed to the negative impact on society.
And when you say these are 30 friends that were not in prison that actually overdosed, you're saying, or
most
what?
Definitely.
Wow. Do you see drugs getting taken into a prison? Is that really something that happens, or is that really rare?
To be honest, I mean, it was flooded. It was the
really.
It was per capita. I believe there was more where I was than there is on the streets. And
at Plainfield.
Yes, sir. And to be honest, I mean, and that's where I made a decision to get clean. And it was on my birthday, October 10th, 2021. You know, at midnight, I said, "I'm done. I'm not ever touching anything again." And believe it or not, I had to say no 15 times that day.
Now, of course, I'm a former state lawmaker, so I'm kind of extra curious about how in the world does drugs get inside a correctional facility? I mean, it has to be brought in, I assume, by correction employees, I assume? They're selling it or what?
I mean, yes, I would assume so.
Okay. Because, I'm guessing the mail gets checked, so I can't imagine it getting in that way. But
right.
That's a pretty big offense, obviously, for a correction person that sells anything, whether it's drugs, cigarettes, or anything else.
Yeah, most definitely.
So they could lose their jobs over that, let alone face charges.
Yeah, definitely lose their freedom as well.
Sure. So they need to be wiser than that. But that's sad to hear your testimony that you saw as much activity inside the prison as outside the prison. That's a pretty strong statement.
It's definitely the truth, you know.
If you could do things over again, I guess, what would be the best advice you could give to a young man, young woman who's tempted to try a line of meth? What would you tell them?
Definitely learn to say no, and also, you know, take stories like myself and others, you know, that have struggled and went through addiction and now in recovery, and any time that anybody gives you advice, take it as best as you can.
You know, I've known many of friends that have abused drugs, especially meth, and it just seems like that's an addictive drug that's hard to break.
Most definitely is, and I've watched it tear apart, you know, our world, my world, family, friends, associates, anything and everything around that it involves, it's going to take.
Again, we're talking with Michael Hadley, and he is the project coordinator for Inside Out Recovery based in Brazil. And they're working on an International Overdose Awareness Day event that will take place at Brazil's Forest Park. It'll be on August 31st. The admission is free. It's going to be at the pavilion, or better known as the Cow Palace to a lot of people. What helped inspire you to get this event underway, I guess?
Like I'd mentioned before, losing so many people to overdose, and knowing that they left behind their family, their friends, you know, their children, et cetera. And just knowing that I had a negative influence all my life on whether, you know, I might have gotten high with this guy for the first time, or he might have called me and we might have hung out and done some, you know, some damage together. And just knowing that if I would have done positive things, maybe one or two of them would still be around.
Yeah, I understand that there can be a lot of regrets. And I guess for those that have never tried meth, I mean, what's the appeal, and why do people keep abusing it, in your opinion?
I guess the rush, you know, the constant feeling of, you know.
You're Superman, I guess, or
yeah,
whatever.
Never wanting to slow down, you know. You're always on the go, and you know, a lot of times our world today is just constantly on the move, and, you know, it's all about progress, and people always want to keep up.
Yeah, or if they're doing two and three jobs, or some people that feel like the only way they can do that is to maybe use meth, I guess.
Yeah, most definitely.
I was watching a special the other night on one of the history channels, and of course I knew this years prior, but Germany, back in World War II, you know, they kept all their soldiers on some type of amphetamines to keep them going, and even Adolf Hitler abused it to for years. I mean, it would inject it in him. That kind of helps explain something too, doesn't it?
Yeah, and that's just a brief description, and it shows, you know, the hate and you know, the evil that it breeds.
Yeah, that's a very good point. What have we left out? What else do you want people to know, not only about this special event on August 31st, but anything else you want to share about why someone who's struggling with drug abuse, and could it be alcohol abuse too when it comes to this group?
Yes, we are going to touch on alcohol abuse, opioid abuse, which is, you know, now the leading killer in the world today. We're going to speak on several different recovery programs to let everyone in the public know, you know, number one, they're not alone, and number two, help is there. You just got to go and take action and accept it.
Tell me about the website. I noticed insideoutrecovery.org. If they go to that website, what will they see?
Actually, if you go to insideoutrecovery.org, you will see a description of, you know, our program, and you will also see some of the festivities that we've hosted, as well as, you know, the owner, Kevin Ekus, some sermons that he leads.
Okay, and where is this facility located at?
We're at 1408 East Hendrick Street in Brazil.
Okay, and if someone is struggling with abuse, I mean, they can reach out to not only join you guys for your particular gatherings or even church events, but I guess what else would be there to help support a person abusing drugs, I guess?
I mean, obviously we're going to accept them with open arms, and we're going to lead them in the right direction. And, you know, any problem that they may seem to have, number one, we can't cure their problem. They have to cure their problem themselves. And by that, I mean, you have to take action. Yes, you may need help, but you got to want help just as bad as you need it.
That's a good point. And what's the conditions on someone who is accepted there to live for a certain time? How does that work?
Okay, when you first get accepted and you move into our facility, you have to stay inside, you know, within the facility for 30 days. By that, I'm not saying that we're locked doors. That doesn't mean you can't go outside. That doesn't mean that you're not going to be allowed to go out in the community. And that doesn't mean, number one, that you're not going to see your children and your family. 2 days after being out of incarceration, my children were welcomed into this facility, and my children are allowed to stay overnight with me anytime.
That's a nice touch. Is there any charge for this? How does it get supported?
The first 30 days, you're not charged anything. You're allowed employment after 30 days. You're allowed to have your cell phone after 30 days, you know. But at the same time, anytime you need to reach out to your family or appointments, anything like that, they are not going to tell you no, you can't make these appointments and you can't reach out and or even speak to someone.
So I'm speculating in that first 30 days, they want you focusing on, of course, not abusing drugs. It would be one. But what's the other focus for that 30 days?
On yourself, where you need to be in life, you know, and where you've been and getting over those things, helping surface some of the trauma and the grief and realizing that you must face it head on, but you're going to put it behind you, and that's where it needs to stay.
Okay. Anything else you want to share with the community when it comes to Inside Out Recovery, first of all? And we'll recap the event coming up here in a moment, too. But
I'll speak on behalf of Inside Out Recovery, and when I say this, you know, anyone that needs help, don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. Reach out. You know, the help is going to be there. But like I said, number one, you have to want it yourself.
And the best way to get a hold of you guys at Inside Out Recovery is what?
You can call Kevin Ekus at 812-251-6194.
So 251, what's the rest of it?
6194.
6194, and I assume that's 812?
Yes, sir.
So 812-251-6194. Kevin's going to answer that phone when you call that number. So if you're struggling with drugs or if you're a loved one who knows someone who's struggling with drugs and you're trying to find a way to get them some immediate support, give Kevin a call at 812-251-6194, and the folks in Brazil may have an option for you at insideoutrecovery.org. And again, for those that may have joined the program late, the International Overdose Awareness Day, that's going to be acknowledged around the world on the last day of August. You guys are taking it an extra step by doing this special event out at the Cal Palace at Forest Park in Brazil. And again, it's a pretty long day when you look at your schedule. 9 o'clock, the 3K recovery walk. So it's not really a run, it's just a walk, huh?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'm not sure I could run it either, so right. Good for you. But then you mentioned the opening statements and trying to just kind of lay out the reason for the day, and apparently Mayor Windham's going to join you. What kind of live music are you going to have out there in presentations and things?
Right now we're in the process of figuring all that out with the live. We haven't gotten anybody... that's going to be 100% for sure, but we are working on that right now.
Okay, very good. And then, but the testimonies, I think, would be probably some of the highlights for those to kind of...
Most definitely. You're going to hear about, some testimonies from stories from guys like myself, women as well, from the community here in Brazil, that have been through the struggle and come out on top, in recovery.
Before we wrap this up, we've got a few moments left. Can you think of anything, whether it's part of your testimony that you might share on August 31st, or just give me a point or two on what you've learned from your life experiences and some of the mistakes you've made and what you've learned now and some advice you might be able to share with others that could make a difference?
Well, a couple of things. Obviously, people like myself that have messed up, we've got to keep it behind us and, never sell yourself short. Anything is possible. I mean, if you see something that you want, you just reach out and touch it. It's going to happen. And obviously when you're doing the right things and when you're in recovery, from being an ex-addict, everything is going to fall the way it should, one step after the other, as long as you are taking the proper procedures.
That's a good point. And, there's a lot of people that have made the mistake of abusing drugs. Doesn't make you a bad person. You just made some bad decisions for a time in your life.
That's correct. You know, I mean, everybody makes bad decisions, and some worse than others. And, you know, like myself, some of us had to learn a little bit harder ways than others.
But paint a picture for what incarceration is like at Plainfield.
I mean, it's horrible.
Really?
It was, you know, a nightmare. I couldn't wait to get home, and I prayed and prayed every day for, you know, my release. And I worked hard as well, you know, attending classes in the RWI program, which was actually a great program.
And what's RWI stand for?
Recovery While Incarcerated.
Okay. And so, like, I mean, the food can't be great, I assume. That's part of the issue, right? So
yeah, definitely. Imagine, you know, not having salt and pepper or any flavor to any of your food, you know, and it's just... nothing to brag about, that's for sure.
I understand. And then I guess, is there sort of a fear because of the people that you're around all day? I mean, is that part of the issue of being in a correctional facility?
Most definitely. I mean, it doesn't matter if, you know, even your closest friends or not. Like I said, it's a drug-flooded facility, you know, being in the Department of Corrections. So at all times, you are constantly on the watch of any and everything going on around you. You never know who's going to, you know, pull something out of their pocket and try to poke you with it, or who's gonna, you know, these three guys might walk up and try to take everything that you own. It's just, you know, it comes with it, man, and it's really nothing that anybody would ever want to experience.
If you could tell the governor what should change at a place like Plainfield, what would you tell him?
Honestly, a lot of things. I mean,
sure,
you know,
he might get this audio recording. Seriously,
the cleanliness of the facilities needs to be upheld, and just the integrity of each and every individual that works in these facilities needs to be upheld from the top to the bottom.
So we've got some bad state employees at these facilities, it sounds like.
Most definitely.
That's sad to hear.
Yes, it is.
And again, I know we increased the penalties for those who traffic anything. I mean, I can recall debate in the legislature, you know, even if it was concerns about selling cigarettes and things like that, that they escalated the penalties against correctional facilities that might do that. But it sounds like that's not enough right now from what you're telling me.
No, I mean, you know, obviously it boils down to integrity. And I could speak on once again is the most important thing that I think I picked up in prison was integrity, doing the right thing when nobody's watching. You know, whether it's going to affect the outcome of a situation that I like it or not, you have to learn to live with integrity.
And so the bottom line is, if you could tell anyone listening who's committing crimes or especially doing drugs and where you may end up because of it, you don't want to go there, do you?
Most definitely not. And no matter what you do, it's going to catch up to you. You might get away with things for years and years like I did myself. But one day, it's all going to catch up to you. And when it does, you know, your world comes crashing down.
Okay. Final thoughts? Anything else we've left out that you might want to share with our listeners this morning?
I just want to encourage, you know, the public, any and everyone, to join us on August 31st, International Overdose Awareness Day, to help raise awareness of overdose, of substance abuse, and also to pay tribute to those families and children and friends that have been lost and suffer from the consequences of overdose.
And even though I've got a copy of your flyer, is this online somewhere or at Facebook or anything?
Most definitely. You can go to www.overdoseday.com, and that's the website for the world. And you click select event. And once you select event, the countries will pop up. And at the bottom, the abbreviations for the states. You click on IN. And once you click on IN, you click the second listing that pops up for Brazil, Indiana, and view more info. And it will give you all details.
And give that domain address one more time.
Once again, that was www.overdoseday.com.
Okay, and again, it's August 31st, an event that's free of charge to anyone that wants to check it out at Forest Park at the Cow Palace. It'll start as early as 9 o'clock. The opening statements get underway at around 11. There'll be some live music after lunch and some testimonies that you'll want to hear. And then a special closing with the release of balloons and memories of those who lost the battle with addiction. Michael Hadley's been our guest. Anything else you want to say before we wrap this up?
No, that's it. I want to thank you guys for listening.
Well, I can pick up my script that I dropped. Here we go. Michael Hadley is a project coordinator for Inside Out Recovery. He walked in to get a little publicity and didn't expect me to say, okay, let's talk about this for 25 minutes. So here you go. So we'll spread the word, and we hope it's a successful event. And a tip of my hat to you for your testimony today and for you turning your life around. And I'm sure it will have a positive effect on others, Michael. So good luck to you.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Have a good day. This has been Focus on the Community, produced by the DLC Media News Center. This program is broadcast Saturday mornings at 6 on 104.9 WAXI, 7 a.m. on WAMB, AM 1130, 106.9 and 99.5, Sundays at 6 a.m. on 105.5 WVIG, and 7 a.m. on 92.7 WFMB. For a download of this show and other past programs, visit any one of our radio station websites. I'm Dave Crooks. Thanks for listening.